Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't put your bulletins away yet. Keep them out and keep them turned to Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, our epistle reading for today, because we're going to go through that somewhat verse by verse. So sort of a mixed Bible teaching sermon today, a little bit of both. And what you will hear as we go through this is probably Paul's purest gospel expression out of his writings. This section in Scripture just oozes gospel. From the very beginning to the very end, it's just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the work of God and the gospel. So we're going to start at the very beginning of this section at verse 3. We'll start with, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Now we read that and we go, okay, but wait. Let's read that again, and I really want you to pay attention to what it is you are being blessed with, okay? So, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ," now get this, "with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Now that's a resounding silence. Hear it again. God has blessed us, in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Is that not incredible? That God, the creator of the universe, has blessed us, mere human beings, sinful and fallible, in Christ, his Son, with not just good tidings, not just with happy thoughts, not just with warm vibes, but with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is incredible. He has not withheld any spiritual blessing to all of his people, you included. He has poured out all of the good gifts he could possibly have in his storehouse of blessings, and the God, creator of the universe, has said, "Here, have them. Here, take them. Take all of these blessings, and guess what? I'm going to go back to the back of the store, and I'm going to get more. And I'm going to come out, and I'm going to pour those out on you, and then I'm going to go get more, and I'm going to pour it out on you, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." I could stop there and say, amen, what an incredible gospel. But Paul doesn't stop there, and so I'm going to keep going too. And now, verse 4, he says, "Even as he," who is he? God, in Christ, "has chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world." Now, here's the thing to pay attention to. Who is the one who does the choosing? God. He chooses us in Christ. We don't choose him. We don't get to choose him. We don't get to raise our hand and say, "Hey, pick me, pick me." We don't get to do any of that. He, God, the creator of the universe, in his Son Jesus Christ, has chosen you. Has chosen you, little sinful human being that you are, to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This should just be overwhelming to us. You can't possibly fathom the depth of that blessing, especially because sometimes our eyes are short-sighted. I should say most of the time our eyes are short-sighted. We only can see what we see. And what we see when we look around us is not really blessings. We look around us and our eyes are too easily drawn to all of the tragedy, all of the hurt, all of the pain, all of the suffering that is all around us and inside us. And we don't see the blessings, all of the spiritual blessings of the heavenly places, because we're so short-sighted. So when our eyes cannot see the blessing, where do we go to understand and see the blessing? We can't go to us, because we're not the ones who give the blessing. We can't go out into the world or up on a high mountain, because that's not where the blessings come from. Where do we go to see the blessings and to believe the blessings? We go to His Word, where His Word tells us the absolute truth. No matter what our eyes see, the Word tells us what's real. So as our eyes are directed to all of this pain and suffering and say, well, you know, we don't feel really blessed, you go to the Scriptures where it says it doesn't matter what you feel about being blessed. What matters is what God says about you being blessed. And He says He chose you to bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It doesn't matter what your eyes see. It doesn't even matter how great you feel. What matters is what God says about you. And what He says about you is that He chose you. He handpicked you. He went out into the strawberry field of people and said, I'll take that one, and I'll take that one, and I'll take that one, and I will pour out my blessings on those. Was this hitting yet? Because this is incredible gospel. This is the stuff that gets into your soul and churns you up inside. And He says, all right, He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. That one blows my mind. Because when did He choose us? When did He go out into that strawberry field to pick us out of the bushes? When did He do that? Did He do that when we said, I'm the one, God, I made all of the right decisions. I prayed the right prayer. I read the right stuff. I graduated from the right school. I did all of the right things, and I've been a really good person. Is that when God chose us? Did He say, oh, finally, you made it? No. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He said, they're going to be my people. Before anything else, He said, you are going to be mine. And I'm going to bless you. Greater than you can possibly understand, I'm going to pour out my blessings on you. Greater than you'll ever really realize, I'm going to pour out my blessings on you. So that us, should be holy and blameless before God. Now, if we stand before God and say, well, I'm just going to stand on my own two feet before God, because I think I'm a pretty good guy. I do nice things. I say good words. I give money to people. I'm generous. I'm even humble. And I do all of these wonderful things. And I stand before God and say, I'm holy and blameless because I'm so great. And God says, you want to try that again? Because it's not you. How are we made holy and blameless? Because of the fact that God chose us, and because of the fact that God blessed us in Christ. And no other reason. Nothing else makes us holy and blameless except for God choosing us and blessing us in Christ. Nothing else. So put it all away that there is something else inside you that makes you holy and blameless, that makes you such a great person, that makes you all of these wonderful things, because none of that adds up to anything. It's all in what God has done in Christ for you. It's everything. This is, as I said, the purest gospel that we can think of. Because in this reading here, we are so taken out of the picture as contributing anything to God's gracious gifts. All right, so verse 5. He, in love, predestined us to be for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Again, that's the idea. Before the foundation of the world, He knew which strawberries He was going to pick out of that strawberry field. And all of them were ripe. All of them were ready. And He picked His chosen ones. But He looks at the field and He says, You all in this field, all of you ripe strawberries, I've set you up. I've given you the gifts. I've blessed you in the heavenly places in Christ. You're all ready for this. And He says, it's through Jesus Christ. Now, here's a big deal. It's according to the purpose of whose will? His will. To the praise of whose glorious grace? His glorious grace. Remember, it's not my will. It's not my plan. It's not my grace. Because if it were my grace, I got none. I'm not gracious and I'm not graceful. I have no grace, except maybe when I say it before dinner. I have no grace in me. It all comes as gift through Christ. So it is according to his will and his grace with which he once again has blessed us in the beloved. In case you forgot verse 3, he reminds you, in Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places according to his will and according to his grace and according to his plan and according to his desire and according to his choosing. It is all according to him. We'll continue on. In him, in God, we have redemption through his, Jesus, blood. We have redemption. We have been redeemed. We don't redeem ourselves. We don't redeem ourselves. So consider yourself like an empty bottle that gets to be redeemed at the coin drop thing. You know, the bottle drop, you put it in there, you're redeemed for 10 cents, right? The bottle itself can't redeem itself. It just sits there on the ground until somebody picks it up and takes it to the place and redeems it. We ourselves are sinful human beings, strawberries, sitting in the patch, waiting for God to come and pick us up and redeem us. Otherwise, we're just there. He is the one who does the redeeming. He is the one who chooses us. He is the one that has the will and the grace and the blessing and all of it. It's all him. And we are redeemed through Jesus' blood. And here comes the big whammy. The forgiveness of our trespasses. It's the only thing in this scripture section that we read that we have that is ours to show. Trespasses or sins, depending on which translation you read. Trespasses or sins. This is all we've got. When we come before God, if it were up to us, this is all we have. We have an armful of trespasses. That's all. That's what we bring to the table. That's all we have on our own, is an armful of trespasses. All we have on our own is squished strawberries on our shoes, people we've hurt, people who have hurt us, the mess that we've caused in our lives, the mess that sin in the world has caused. That's all we've got. But God says that's not all you'll have. He says you're going to have redemption. You're going to have the forgiveness of those trespasses. So that armful that you have, God says, I'm going to wipe it up. Just drop it. You don't have to carry that. It's not yours to carry anymore. It's forgiven. It's done. So now you come before God with the blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that he pours out into your arms and into your hands and into your heart. He gives it to you. And that is all according to the riches of whose grace? His grace, not mine, not yours. His grace, which he, God, creator of the universe, are you ready for this word? Lavished upon us. Do you know the word lavish? It's one of those words that we kind of use not as much as we used to, maybe. And we only use it really in reference to something that is way above and beyond our concept of nice, right? Something that is lavish is something that just goes over the top and is sumptuous and rich and filling and overfilling. That's lavish. So when Paul writes about God lavishing his grace on us, it's not just, here, have a little grace. Here's some from my pocket. Here's a quarter of grace. It's, here it is in bucketfuls. and bucketfuls poured out on all of us. And then, like I said, he goes back to the storeroom and he gets more and dumps more grace and more blessings and more forgiveness. This is God. This isn't us. This is what he does. This is who he is for you, for me. He has lavished this grace upon us. And now comes an insight. Now comes something that we sometimes argue about in our great theological and psychological concepts that we have. He says, in all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us and is making known to us the mystery of his will. He's not hiding it. He's not saying you've got to figure out what my will is. You gotta figure out the code. You gotta know how to go through the scriptures and figure out, you gotta pray the right prayer in order to know my will. No, he says, through all of this grace and this lavishing upon us in his wisdom and insight, he says, I'm gonna tell you what the mystery is. And it's right there. It's Jesus. There is no mystery. We know. We know the story. We don't have to figure it out. Because of all of this lavish grace and blessings, it's all right there. The forgiveness of sins, it's all there. And it's all of his will and according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Right? So we see his will, his purpose, his plan, his Christ, his past, his present, his future, his all eternity, his blessings, his grace, his forgiveness, his love, everything. Blah! Right there. And he says, this is all going to come about that as a plan for the fullness of time, when that day comes, when Christ returns and is once again in front of all of us, he says, he's going to unite all things in Christ. Things in heaven, things on earth. So when that day comes, all of the stuff that we have worried about for so long, he's going to say, enough is enough. Everybody, come to me. All those strawberries in the field gathered up in his bucket, gathered up in his blessing and his grace. This, if you ever, ever need a reminder of who you are in God, in Christ, this is the place to go. This passage, put it up in front of you every single day to remind you when your eyes deceive you and when your heart says, no, God has abandoned us, when all seems lost, we go here and we hear the truth. That you, me, we have been blessed in Christ by the Creator of the universe with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That is who we are. That is whose we are. And that is what we are. From now until that day when we're all gathered together. Amen.